We are going to dive into a message today. I call it a standalone message because it's not a part of a series. It is a sermon that God placed on my heart a few weeks ago. It is a sermon, I think, that is specific for this season. We just ended our Faith and Politics series, The Donkey, the Elephant, and the Lamb. If you missed that, go online, download our app today, and you can listen to all those past and previous messages up there. But today's message, I believe, is one that's going to help us. I believe it's going to be one that's going to encourage us. And so what I want you to do right now is go ahead and hit the share button if you're watching this on Facebook, so that way we can reach as many people as we can. But here's what the Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 7, verse 20. It says this: "If I have sinned, what have I done to you, watcher of humanity? Why have you made me your target?" Man, you can keep on playing, Brandon. Keep on going. I need that good old music in the background. You know, it makes it more holy. "Why have you made me your target so that I have become a burden to you? Why have you made me your target so that I have become a burden to you?" And I want to pause right there, because this is going to kind of capture the message of today. I'm calling today's message. I hope you're ready for it, and I hope God ministers to you as he ministered to me while I was preparing it. But we are calling today's message, "I've Got Questions." I've got questions. Write it down in the chat really quick. Find somebody in your apartment, in your house, in your room, and tell them, "I've got questions." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us in a fresh way, in an encouraging way, in a relevant way. God, would you comfort us in this time of stress and anxiety, time of depression, time of pain? God, would you encourage us? Would you speak to us today like never before, in Jesus' name? And everyone said amen. "I've got questions." If you haven't already, I want you to share this video, share this stream right now. Click that share button right now if you're watching on Facebook. "I've got questions." Well, church family, I want to ask you a question. Have you gone through this year, and with all the things that have happened, have you found yourself asking questions? Have you found yourself asking questions like, "Why did I experience a loss this year?" Have you asked yourself the question, "Why am I depressed?" Have you asked yourself the question, "Why did things not happen the way I wanted them to?" I just want to know, just by show of hands in the comment section, have any of y'all found yourselves asking questions as it pertains to the things that have happened this year? And if you are asking questions, I want you to know you're not alone, because I think this year, 2020, many of us got a whole lot of questions. When I think about that, I think about the biblical character by the name of Job. Here in the book of Job, this book is named after a biblical character by the name of Job. And Job, family, in case you don't know anything about him, was somebody that honored God. He had a relationship with God, and he trusted God. He even knows God personally, and he seeks to live for him. But in light of all of that, in light of Job being righteous, in light of Job honoring God, trusting in God, having a relationship with God, in the midst of all of that, Job finds himself going through. Job finds himself stressed out. Job finds himself filled with anxiety. Job finds himself going through unthinkable events and circumstances. I want you to go to Job chapter 1, around verse 13, and notice what the Bible says. It says these words: "One day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house, a messenger came to Job and reported, 'While the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, the Sabians swooped down and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Verse 16, "He was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, 'God's fire fell from heaven,'" fire meaning lightning, "'and it burned the sheep and the servants and devoured them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Verse 17, "That messenger was still speaking when yet another came and reported, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, made a raid on the camels, and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, verse 18, when another messenger came and reported, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on the young people so that they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 20, then Job stood up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground in worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. I don't know if you caught all that I just read, church family, but I want you to notice all the pain, all the crazy suffering that Job experiences here. He loses his livelihood, his occupation, his job, if you will, his income. He loses his workers, those that he was employing. He lost his resources. And to make matters worse, he lost his family in the form of his children. And then when you take it a step further in the next chapter, in chapter 2, he even loses his health in that he develops a skin disease. I want you to notice the complexity of Job chapter 1. Every single time Job gets one bit of bad news, another bit of bad news comes in. While one messenger is coming to tell him some bad news, the Bible says, and another messenger came, and another messenger came, and another messenger came, and another one, way before DJ Khaled started to say that, and another one. All these moments of bad news continue to pile up on Job. The worst that could happen is happening. And I want you to even notice what happens later on in the Bible. Because later on in the Bible, it even says his wife tells him, you ought to curse God and die. You ought to just throw God all under the bus. Now, historically speaking, oftentimes when this passage is preached and when the story of Job is preached, we oftentimes give the wife a bad rap. We throw her all under the bus. We typically say things like, oh, she ain't saved and she don't believe God. But I would caution us to making those type of assessments, because oftentimes what I've recognized is when we are under enormous amounts of pressure, we will sometimes fall victim to saying things and doing things that we know are not right. I think all of us could say that that's been the case this year with 2020. Because I think as we've experienced massive amounts of pressure, maybe if we could be honest about it, God needs y'all to be real, we have said some things, we have done some things that we know aren't right, but due to the pressure that we have found ourselves in, specifically due to this pandemic, we have found ourselves doing some things, saying some things that we know are not right. And by the time we get to Job chapter 3, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. After this, Job began to speak, and he cursed the day that he was born. And he said, may the day I was born perish, and the night that said a boy is conceived. If only that day had turned to darkness, may God above not care about it or light shine on it. I want you to see what Job is doing right here. Ultimately, here's what Job is saying. Job is saying, I wish I wasn't even born. He says, curse the day that I was born. Like, I wish I wasn't even here. Have you ever had a moment like that this year? Where you say, it'd be better if I wasn't even alive. Why would I have to live through a year like 2020? And to add insult to injury, family, his friends step in over the next few chapters of the book of Job and give him what I like to call pseudo-spiritual answers. Answers like, Job, God's got a plan. God's gonna work it out. I know God got a plan. I know God's gonna work it out. But right now, I don't feel like it. Y'all ever felt like before? You ever felt like, man, stuff is so bad right now. I know what the Bible says, and I know what God says, but right now, I don't even really want to hear that. Can we be honest and be real? Job is having these moments, even with his friends, where they're coming to him, and they're trying to give explanations as to why Job is suffering. Some of them even insinuate that the reason why Job is suffering is because of sin in his life. And I think his friends, though they may have been trying to help, I think they made matters worse because they, I think, were misguided and forgetting that when people are going through the most difficult moments of their life, oftentimes what is not needed is explanation. Oftentimes what is needed is presence. I just need somebody to be with me right now. I just need somebody to understand what I'm getting. Can y'all turn me up just a little bit? I can't really hear. Okay, I just need somebody to level with me right now with the things that I'm going through. I need somebody who gets the pain that I'm feeling right now. Job's friends were trying to make some type of understanding of what Job was going through. But Job was going through the worst moment of his life. And I want you to see Job chapter 7, verse 20, the verse that I originally read as we started the sermon. After all of this, here's what Job says in chapter 7, verse 20. If I have sinned, what have I done to you, Lord? Watcher of humanity, why have you made me your target? Why have you made me your target so that I have become a burden to you? Job has questions for God. God, I've lost my kids, I've lost my job, I've lost my money, I've lost my resources, I've lost my people that work for me, I've lost my health. God, why is this happening to me? Have anybody ever asked that question in their life before? Have you asked that question this year? Why are you allowing this? Do you not care about me? Do you not love me? Why is this happening to me right now? And Job's gotten so frustrated. Job is essentially, it's almost like Job has had it up to here with God himself. To where he says this in Job chapter 10, verse 1. I am disgusted with my life, and I will give vent to my complaint and speak in the bitterness of my soul. Job is bitter, salty, upset, angry, and he's angry with God. I love the book of Job because the book of Job gives us a reality in many regards to what life is. And for the majority of this book, you see Job suffering and you see him reaching a boiling point where he begins to question God, which I believe, family, brings us to an important principle that I want us to understand and write down. That this principle and this truth that all of us need to be reminded of, especially this year, it's a painful truth, but it is true nonetheless, and here's what it is, and I want you to take a screenshot of it and write it down. Here's what you need to understand. We will suffer. Suffering is a part of this thing called life. And as we live in this broken and fallen world, suffering is not something that we can avoid. That we will go through suffering. The Bible says it like this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible also says in the New Testament, in this life, you will have much trouble. Much trouble. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are. It don't matter if you're white, black, rich, poor, old, young, saved, not saved. All of us will go through times of suffering. And Job is experiencing that right now. And I believe that this time in scripture is so relevant to all the things that we find ourselves going through right now. Because as we have continued to navigate this year known as 2020 and all that it has brought, it is safe to say that in many ways we have experienced suffering on many levels. 2020 has been unthinkable. And we have been hit by the waves of life like never before. Just as Job experienced bad news after bad news, it has been like that for many of you who are watching right now. It seems as if your life has just been hit with wave after wave after wave after wave of nothing but bad news. Another death, another loss, another disappointment, another relationship that ended, another painful moment, another setback. We have been hit with waves continually this year. Oh, it happened even in the public sector. On a public level, this year started off in a very well-known sense, where you had people like that were well-known that died tragically to start this year off. Kobe Bryant, Gigi Bryant. Then COVID came and shut the whole world down, brought people to their knees. Kids having to learn solely online. Then Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor were victims of racial injustice and lost their lives due to it. Then George Floyd, then the economic collapses, then other celebrity deaths, Alex Trebek, Chadwick Boseman, then political unrest. And that's just on a public platform. I believe that all of us who are watching online can take inventory and see a list of personal challenges and waves that have happened in our lives to date. I believe that all of us can testify to the fact that this year has been a year of suffering in many ways. That we have experienced the unthinkable. I lost my job. I lost my friend and my family member due to COVID. My health began to suffer and I still haven't recovered. My finances took a hit. The marriage ended or is strained currently. We have been hit by wave after wave. And I'm gonna be honest with you, church family, as a pastor, like so many of you, as a pastor specifically, I have felt the weight of this year like a time like none other. I want y'all to know something, family. Pastoring through a pandemic is hard. I'm gonna just be real with y'all. Pastoring and preaching through a pandemic, y'all? Oh, they ain't trained you for this in school. They never told you, hey, in year 2020, you're going to get hit with a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic that's going to shut the whole world down and bring it to its knees. They ain't prepare us for this. They didn't prepare us for having to do funerals in the midst of a COVID season. They didn't prepare us for having to juggle, having to preach sermons and prepare sermons week in and week out while still taking care of the wife and the kids. They ain't tell you nothing about that. Pastoring in this pandemic has been difficult and it's hard. On so many levels, I'll prove the point even more, that while God has been faithful in many ways to our church, and we've seen God do great things in our church, and we've been able to be sustained throughout this whole process. I literally just got an email earlier this week from a good friend of mine who planted his church back in January, and he sent me an email on Tuesday saying we're having to shut the church down. The church started in January, family. Here we are at the end of the year, holiday season. And he's saying, we're going to have to shut the church down. Because financially, we haven't been able to keep up. We've been in a down spiral. We haven't been able to sustain things after only launching the church earlier this year. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, family. When I got that email from that good friend of mine, it caused me to ask, God, what is going on? What are you doing? What is happening? Why is this happening? I think we find ourselves asking, why is this happening to me so much in this season? Why did this happen this year? Why did I have to lose my loved one the way that I did? God, where are you in the midst of all this? Because it appears as if you are nowhere to be found. Anybody ever felt that this year? It appears that everything has spiraled out of the control and I can't see you anywhere. I think Job could identify with this. I think our crying out for why things are the way they are point to a major reality that our world is broken, our world is fallen, and we long for God to make things new. But if I could be honest with you, I don't think as the body of Christ, specifically as pastors and leaders, I don't think we've done a great job in preparing people and helping people to understand suffering from a biblical perspective. But the Bible has a whole lot to say about it, actually. The book of Psalms, arguably the longest book in the whole entire Bible. 60% of the Psalms are Psalms of praise. The other 40% are Psalms of laments and pain. Whole book in the Bible called the Book of Lamentations, lamenting. 2020 has been a year of lament. When the last time you ever heard somebody do a sermon series on the Book of Lamentations? Hey, church family, we're going to start a whole new series today on the book of Lamentations. I'm going to do it next year called Good Grief. Because we don't know how to suffer. We don't know how to deal with the pain when it comes. Because what we get so high off of is naming and claiming, blabbing and grabbing, calling and hauling. But don't none of that stuff work in a case like Job? Is that stuff really working right now in 2020 when we've experienced loss on all fronts? And in the midst of the host of questions we can ask with everything that's happening, I've got one question that I have been asking myself that I believe all of us are asking right now. Is there any good news? Is there anything that I can be hopeful for? Is there anything that I could do right now that would give me any sense of hope and encouragement? And I believe that what we learn from the life of Job is that in the midst of suffering, church family, in the midst of all the pain, in the midst of all the difficulty, that we can be hopeful. We can be hopeful when things hurt. We can be hopeful when things look ugly. We can be hopeful when we've lost things. We can be hopeful when family members have passed. We can be hopeful when we've lost jobs. We can be hopeful when we contracted COVID and are still trying to recover from it. We can be hopeful in the midst of suffering. Why, family? Because it is in the times of suffering where God will reveal. I want you to write that down. In times of suffering, we can be hopeful. Because number one, God will reveal. God will show up. For 37 chapters, Job has been in these back and forth conversations with wife and friends about the nature of his suffering, trying to even discover a reason for his suffering. And it appears that God is nowhere to be found for 37 chapters. But then when you get to chapter 38, I love it. By the time you get to chapter 38, I want you to turn there really quick and read it with me. In chapter 38, notice what the Bible says. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. In the midst of things being out of control, God shows up. In the midst of all that Job had faced and the questions that he had, God responds. God speaks. God has a word for Job while Job was going through the worst crisis in his life. And here's the good news that I want you to take home with you right now. That in the midst of all the drama and the worst moments that you've been enduring and that I've been enduring, that we've been enduring this year, God has a word for us. And God is with us. And God has not abandoned us. And God has never left us nor forsaken us. That even when you have felt like you are alone, God is saying, I'm actually right there with you in the middle of it. The Bible says in the middle of a whirlwind, if you know anything about a whirlwind, it is crazy, it is hectic, it is chaotic. But in the middle of it, God shows up and God speaks. God gives him a word. God speaks in your suffering. And I want you to see what the Bible says in verse 2. Who is this who obscures my counsel with ignorant words? Get ready to answer me like a man when I question you. He's telling Job this now. You will inform me. Where were you when I established the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And watch what God says next, family. Who fixed its dimensions? Certainly, you know. It's almost as if we've gone from Job saying, God, I got questions for you. And then by the time we get to chapter 38, God is saying, well, I got some questions for you. I know you're upset and I know you're frustrated and I know you got questions, but I got some questions too. Where were you when I put the sun in the sky? Where were you when I put the stars in the sky? Where were you when I drew a line in the sand for the water and then I come back? Where were you when I set the mountains in place? Where were you when I created the animals? Where were you when I created people? And as God speaks to Job, the reason why God is asking these questions is not because God is trying to learn something from Job, but because God is trying to reveal something to Job. And what he's trying to reveal to Job is that God is omnipresent, is that God is omnipotent, meaning he has all power, and that God is omniscient, meaning he has all knowledge and all wisdom. And as God speaks to Job, I want you to understand something that God never does here in the book of Job. You will never find it. I want you to go back and study if you don't believe me. God never gives an explanation to Job as to why he's suffering. And I'm going to be real with y'all, family. Sometimes I find that troubling. God, I want to know why I'm going through what I'm going through. Anybody with me right there? You want to know why you're going through what you're going through? God, I need you to tell me why. Did I get something wrong? Did I do something I wasn't supposed to do? I need an explanation. I need a reason why I'm going through what I'm going through. And I want you to understand something, family, about God. That there are times in Scripture where God does reveal and tell us why we are suffering. He tells us sometimes specifically why we are going through hard moments, whether it's due to our sin, whether it's due to our poor decision-making. But with Job, that wasn't the case. Job wasn't even somebody who was opposed to God. Job was a righteous person. Job was somebody who had a relationship with God. Job was somebody who lived upright and tried his best to honor God. And if you're like me, you often want to know, why is this happening? But here is what this account here in the book of Job teaches us. God doesn't always reveal the reason for our suffering, but he always reveals himself in our suffering. I'm going to say it again because I don't know if you got it. God doesn't always reveal the reason for our suffering, but he always reveals himself in our suffering. He gives us a revelation of who he is in the midst of our suffering. He gives us a greater depth of understanding of who he is in our suffering. He shows us that he is the creator. He shows us that he is the comforter. He shows us that he is the healer. God is always speaking and showing up during our times of suffering, and he is with us in our times of suffering. And after all God says to Job, after all the things that God poses in the form of questions to Job, Job was stumped. Job's mind has been blown. And notice how he responds in Job chapter 42, verse 1. Then he replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything now, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this who conceals my counsel with ignorance? Surely I spoke about things I did not understand, things too wondrous for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. And when I question you, you will inform me. I heard reports about you. Watch this now. But now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I reject my words, and I'm sorry for them. I am dust and ashes. I want you to see the powerful thing that happens here in this passage. Job goes from knowing God in one sense to a deeper understanding of him in the next. God gave Job this revelation so that Job could know God better. And I want you to know something, family. I can't explain to you why we are going through what we're going through. I can't explain to you and give you the why as to what has happened in your life over these past 9 months, over the past almost 12 months. I can't give you an explanation, but here's what I do know. God wants to give you a revelation of who he is in the midst of your suffering. So if you feel alone, he wants you to know that he's a comforter. If you feel broke, he wants you to know that he's a provider. If you're sick, he wants you to know that he is a healer. God says in this season of suffering, I want you to know me better. I want you to draw close to me. I got something I want to say about your suffering. That's the good news of the gospel, is that in our times of infirmity, God gives us good news. And I believe that part of the reason why God has allowed us to go through all the things that we've gone through this year with this pandemic and the pain that it's brought is so that way we can know him better. So that we can know him even when things don't make sense. Family, here's what I'm gonna be honest with you. God is speaking during this time and saying that if I'm wise and powerful to do things that you can't explain, I'm also wise and powerful enough to handle all the things that you're going through right now. I think God is wanting us to understand. You may not get a revelation and understanding specifically of why you're going through what you're going through. But in this moment and in this season, God says, check my track record. You can trust me. I know that might not be the answer that everybody wants to hear. And I know that this mic right here might not get a whole lot of shares and a whole lot of views on Facebook and on YouTube and on Instagram and things of that nature. I know that this is not a message right here that would just pack out churches and things of this nature. But God is wanting us to understand. You may not have an understanding of why things happen, but here's the thing that you need to understand. In the midst of not knowing why things have happened, it's more important to know who is with you in the midst of them happening. That God is with you, that you can trust him in the midst of your pain. I know you got questions, but I think here's what God wants us to understand. You can trust me. I'm gonna say it like this. I want you to take a screenshot of it, that we can trust God's heart even when we can't trace God's hand. I'll say it again just in case you didn't get it. We trust God's heart when we can't trace his hand. What do I mean by that? This year feels like this. It's all over the place. And when you look at it, it just appears as if it's just one big mess. And you find yourself asking the question, God, what are you doing? Are you in control? Because when I look at the portrait and the landscape of life, it just looks like one big old mess. And it looks like nothing about this is gonna bring about anything good. And I hear God telling us in the midst of it, would you trust my heart even though you can't trace my hand? Would you trust that I have plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you hope in the future? Would you trust me in the midst of the things that are going on in your life? I know it's stressful, I know it's ugly, and I know it's terrible, and I know it's not something that you signed up for, but can you trust my heart even when you can't trace my hand? Can you trust that I know what I'm doing? That if I was able to put the earth that you live on far enough from the sun so you don't burn up, but close enough so you can get everything that you need from it, could you trust me? If I'm good enough and I'm wise enough to build your body in such of a way that when you consume food, I have built an intelligent system in your body called the digestive system, so that way when you consume food, it breaks it down in an appropriate manner. If I can do that, can you trust me right now? If I can make sure the lilies of the field have what they need and the birds of the air can get what they need, can you trust me? Which leads me to this last point. That not only does God reveal in our times of suffering, here's the good news even more, family. God will restore in our times of suffering. Because when you look at Job chapter 42, verse 10, notice what the Bible says. After Job has this honest moment with God, I want you to notice how Job, in this moment, tells God, I'm sorry for all the things I've said to you. I said some things that I shouldn't have said, did some things I shouldn't have done. And the Bible says that after Job does all of this, in verse 10, after he prayed for his friends, and the Lord restored his fortunes, watch this, the Lord restored his fortunes and doubled his previous possessions. And when you jump down to verse 12, notice what it says. So the Lord blessed the last part of Job's life more than the first. After all that Job went through, from losing family members to his health failing to his income being shriveled up, experiencing sickness, being depressed, not only did God give him a word and reveal himself to Job, but God restores Job, and he restores to Job not just what he lost, but he gave him double compared to what he lost. I want you to know something, family. God is a God who restores. And the goodness of God in seasons like this is that even when we've experienced pain, even when we've experienced loss, even when we've experienced disappointment, God has a way of bringing restoration to our lives. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 5, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping does endure for a night. It is here. It's going to happen. It won't feel good. It will be ugly. But the good news is this. It won't last. If I was in an old church, I would say something like this. Trouble don't last always. And Job could testify to that.
that not only is my God one who reveals himself in the middle of my suffering, but my God is one who can restore things in the midst of my suffering. I'm preaching to some of us today who have lost things this year. You have lost friends this year. You have lost family members this year. It has been a painful year. But what I know is that God will restore. I don't know when he will restore it. I don't know how he will restore it. But what I know is that God will restore it. And what I also know is God doesn't always explain what he allows, but he always uses what he allows. He doesn't always give an explanation for it, but he always has a purpose for it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says it like this, that we know that in all things, good things, bad things, God is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I'm closing with this thought, family. I want you to know something powerful today, that I believe that God is going to bring forth restoration to areas of your life where there has been lack. I believe in the name of Jesus that God is going to do some new things. I believe that God is going to do some greater things. I'm believing that God is going to manifest tangible restoration in your life from this season. I believe that God is going to restore. I believe that God is going to make things new. I believe that God is going to bring forth healing. I believe that God is going to bring forth provision. I believe that God is going to bring forth new relationships. I believe it. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I believe that God is going to do it. I believe that God is going to restore. And I know you've had a year like Job. All of us have had a year like Job in some degree. It has been painful. It has been stressful. It has been ugly. It has been unthinkable and unimaginable. But here's what I know, and I want you to get this in your spirit. God is the God who restores. He is a restoring God. He is a renewing God. God has a way of taking terrible things and bringing out something good. The Bible says he will bring beauty from ashes. God is restoring things. God is doing some new things. But Pastor Edwin, it does not feel like it, and it does not seem like God is working. Just because you can't see God working does not mean that he's not. But Pastor Edwin, I don't hear God. Just because you don't hear God does not mean he's not speaking. But Pastor Edwin, I don't see him doing this great thing. Just because you don't see does not mean it's not happening. I believe in the name of Jesus that God is bringing forth restoration to your home, to your marriage, to your life after the divorce, to the sickness that has been hampering your body for some time now. I believe that God has greater for you. I want to make this declaration over you, the same declaration that we see happen here in the book of Job chapter 42, that your latter will be greater than your former. I believe in the name of Jesus that God has more, that God has greater, that he will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. I believe that God is doing a new thing. I believe that God is restoring. I don't know how, I don't know when, don't know what, but I know who. And I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to move. I know he's going to be faithful. And I know he's going to do it. If God did it before, he will do it again. It may not look the way it looked before. I want you to know something, family. The Bible says that God gave Job double for all that he lost. It did not mean that God returned the family members that he lost back in Job chapter 1. What I'm not saying is that God is going to return to you the very things that you lost. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I want you to look at it like this. I want you to see it like this. It's God repaying you for the suffering that you've experienced. That he's going to do it. That he is going to restore. I believe that God is going to do it. Here on November, going into December, I believe our God is faithful. And I know this season has been hard. It's been unbearable. It's
It's been unthinkable. But God's gonna do it. He's gonna restore. He's gonna be faithful. He has not changed who he is. Not one bit. He's gonna do it. And I'm speaking and ministering to some of you right now who have lost faith. You've lost hope. You have given up. Some of you have given up on God. Some of you, this is the first time you've watched an online service in months. Some of you have even said, like, man, if God doesn't speak to me today, I'm giving up. Some of you have lost things in a catastrophic way. Wave after wave of chaos, tribulation. The pain has been hard. But God is saying, in the middle of your difficult moments, I am with you. And for every difficult moment that you have had, as you trust in me and as you turn to me, I will restore. I will renew. Come on, I need you to believe that and get that in your heart today. God will restore. God will renew. He's doing it. We'll do it. I know you didn't expect any of this to happen the way it has. It has not been pleasant. 2020 has not been a pleasant year for many of you. It's been hard. But I want you to know that you got a God who has power over all things. And you may not get the explanation as to why things have happened. Why did my mom pass away? Why did my dad pass away? Why did I lose my job? Why did my wife, my husband leave me? Why do my kids hate me? This, that, and that. Like, I'm not here to give you the answers to those questions. I'm here to give you assurance of who God is and what he will do. As you trust in him, as you're faithful to him. And I want you to understand something, that what happens in the book of Job was simply a foreshadow of something of a greater type of suffering that would happen. Because years later, Jesus, the Son of God, would come and he would experience a suffering like none other. The Bible says he went to the cross for our sins, the sins of humanity. He went to the cross to shed his blood so that way we could have relationship with God the Father. So that way we would not have to pay for the penalty of our sins, past, present, and future. Jesus suffered. He bled. He was crucified. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was abused. He suffered. You know what he said on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? I love that Jesus said that. Because it shows us that we got a Savior who can empathize with how we feel. Jesus can say, I know what it feels like because I felt that on the cross. I felt that for you. But the story doesn't stop there. Because though Jesus would suffer and bleed and die on the cross, the Bible says in 3 days, he would raise back to life with all power in his hand. What does that prove to us? It proves to us that God is the God who restores. God is the God who renews. God is the God who resurrects. God is the God who revives. That you may have had a Friday in your life this year, but a Sunday is coming if you would trust and believe. A Sunday is coming. And I know Friday hurt, but Sunday is coming. Because Jesus got up out of the grave. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, that those who suffer with him will also reign with him. I'm here to let you know, family, you might be suffering right now. We are suffering right now all around the world, all around the country, all around the community. But the good news of Jesus Christ is if you suffer with him, you will reign with him as well. And I'm speaking to some of you that need to hear that because you've been suffering. And you've been asking the question, God, is there a release valve in this place at all? Can I find a way out? And Jesus is saying, I am the way out. I am the door. Walk through me. I am the one. Come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you hope. I will give you healing. I will give you restoration. I will give you renewal. I will revive you. Come to me. So with heads bowed, right where you are at home, I believe that this moment right here, God orchestrated this moment for many of you who are on the verge of giving up. My heart was so heavy for you this week. It was so hard to prepare this sermon because I got hit with wave after wave after wave after wave this week. Bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. I feel what you're going through, family. But the thing that held me together is the faithfulness of our God and the promise of our God. And as he did it for me, he is doing it for you right now. I speak it over you in the name of Jesus. God has not abandoned you. He has not quit on you. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Don't you dare get off the wall that God has called and assigned you to. God is with you. He is faithful. He is for you. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are watching, listening, in pain, struggling, hurting, stressed out, dealing with loss, grieving, sorrowful. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as they are going through a Job-like moment this year, having tons of questions, why is this happening? God, where are you? I pray in the name of Jesus that you are showing up in their house, in their apartment, in their car, right now in Jesus' name. And I pray that as you're showing up, that you're revealing yourself to them. That you are the comforter, you are the God, that you are the hope, that you are the life, you are the restorer. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that they are seeing that you right now are the one who will bring forth a renewal. I pray for every dry place in our lives that you would begin to breathe fresh life. I pray, God, for those of us who feel like the valley of dry bones in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, I believe and pray in the name of Jesus that you are breathing new life into us right now, doing a new thing. Would you breathe new life into that dead marriage? Would you breathe new life into the person ready to commit suicide? Would you breathe new life into the person who has lost hope? Would you breathe new life? Would you restore like only you can? We believe that it is so. And I declare it over their lives. In Jesus' name, if you're here right now, I want you to know your hope is in Jesus and him alone. If you don't know him, if you have not given your life to him, this life is going to continue to be hard, but it's even worse when you don't have Jesus. But when you got Jesus, you got an anchor. When you got Jesus, you got help. When you got Jesus, you got a comforter. When you got Jesus, you got a protector. When you got Jesus, you got a provider. And today, Jesus is calling some of you right now who have never said yes to him. He says, come to me. I'll give you rest for your weary, painful, hurtful soul. Come to me, surrender to me. If that's you, I want you to say these words after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. I receive your life today, Jesus. I receive your fresh anointing today, Jesus. I receive your Holy Spirit. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In your name I pray. Father, I pray. Pray right now, God, for the discouraged soul, for the tired soul, for the weary soul. I pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you are doing a new thing on the inside of them, that even though things around them have not changed, would you do a new thing in them before you do it around them? Would you comfort? Would you refresh? Would you renew? In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, I want you to put your hands together right now, right where you are online. If you know that God is restoring and you know that God is renewing, come on, put your hands together, worship Jesus for all.